broadcasting live from the Georgia Technology Summit 2024 at the Signia Hotel in Atlanta. This is Business Radio X. And now, here's your host.
So actually nowhere near the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, are Stone Payton and Sharon Klein here with you. We're actually broadcasting live from the Signia Hotel. And it's for the Georgia Technology Summit 2024. They're celebrating a lot of things, including their 25th anniversary. So it's an exciting time. The place is brimming. You got people coming and going from sessions. You got people visiting tables. And I got to tell you, we do a lot of conference and trade show work. We have for almost 20 years now. And it's usually not this busy and teeming. And you're not seeing people at the booths throwing the Frisbees back and forth with each other. They're actually engaging and are having real conversations. So we're delighted to have you join us. And you guys are in for a real treat for this segment. Please join me in welcoming to the show with First Ignition Managing Director, John Wilson. How you doing, man?
Doing great, Stone.
And, you know, I might have done you a disservice because I know from talking to you before we went on air, that's about one of nine hats that you wear, right? That's just like one of your day jobs.
Well, if you live long enough, you can actually have a few.
So we've got a lot to talk about, or at least I'd like to, but let's start there at First Ignition. Tell us a little bit about that organization.
So that's just my in-house shop that I use for advising and working with startup technologies, you know, that I've done over the years. I've had the luxury of being a serial founder and investor and advisor. And you know, you give back. And so TAG is a great way to do that. And so for quite a while, I've been working with Dennis Zakas and the other members of the top 10 selection committee. We've got a little process underway always that each year looks at, you know, over 100 companies, whittles it down to the top 40 innovative companies. And we, you know, they're here at the show. And then we choose the top 10 after a kind of a tough selection process to get down from 40 to 10. And they're on stage today. And so it's a great day to visit all these people. And like you said, you see everybody.
Oh, that's going to be fun. So we'll actually be able to see the 10 that make the cut. But it's what an honor to even be considered in 100, much less make the 40. That's going to be an exciting. Well, I don't know. I'm saying exciting. I guess part of it could be a little bit arduous because you feel like, oh man, number 42 was really good. Right? Is there some of that emotional pull?
Well, there is. And in fact, we've been tracking, we've been doing this from, you know, for over a decade. And the fun thing is to watch companies return to the competition. We've got companies that have cycled through, been a top 40 a couple of times, then won a top 10. We keep track of those that become unicorns. We've had a lot of unicorns here. And several of them that were named along the way, you'll see sitting at the table of the Hall of Fame. They've already been inducted into the Hall of Fame. I had pleasure talking to a couple of people over there this morning. And it's a great community.
So I got a quick unicorn side story for you. Mm-hmm. My business partner, his name is Lee Cantor. He actually founded Business Radio X. He's the CEO. I jumped on his coattails 20 years ago. But he has designed and commissioned a design of a t-shirt with a rhinoceros on it. And the slogan is, "What do you mean I'm not a unicorn?" But I like the sentiment of that because maybe all of us can be in our own way a unicorn, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, I remind people, good businesses are good businesses.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. All right. So I can't imagine how you even had time to come talk to us. So thank you for that. But like, what are you going to do? You got to be running around like crazy today with all your responsibilities. Or is it now that was all up till last night and now you can just kind of.
No, it's a nice way to see everybody in the community that's here. It is busy. You hope people get work done by, you know, doing a deal here or there in the corners. But this is a day to celebrate the fact that Georgia is such an innovative state. I mean, it's amazing. The governor started off this morning. We really are lucky and blessed to have a governor and a mayor that are so focused on technology as an underpinning part of the state's economy. And, you know, it's very unusual to have a good large city mayor and a good governor working together on things like this. So, we should count our blessings.
Well, and even if they aren't together, and I don't know that they aren't on a lot of other stuff, they certainly seem to be together around this.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Economic development brings everybody together. It does. Do a deal.
So you're seeing a lot. We've already picked up on some trends, a lot of conversation around AI, some conversation around robotics and all kinds of things that maybe hasn't made it to our table yet. But I'm picking up some stuff around national security. There's some cool stuff happening in that space, yeah?
Well, it's interesting. Georgia's had a role in some key national security plays for many, many years. Remember, Georgia Tech, you know, was the home of a number of inventions that came to radio, to television, to broadcasting towers, to radar and the like. And there both are commercial and national security implications of all of those. And we are, you know, this was one of the early nodes of the backbone of the internet on the East Coast, called ARPANET at the time.
Oh,
and then
wow.
Before that, this little piece was called SURANET, with the Southeastern University Research Association, and Georgia Tech was the end point. And so there's a long history of national security here. I mean, I moved back here at the time when C5A was flying around in the air, and you saw that. We produced a number of them here. There are some more recent jets that have come off the line at Lockheed. But what's most interesting to me are the number of startup companies that are in space, whether they're in satellite imagery. There's a company over in Industrious right now over in Ponce City Market called Dante that literally does a fusion of all the different systems that satellites provide for both commercial and for national security customers. So it's very, very impressive. We also, if you've heard the name of a company called Anduril, which is really big in the defense technology world, they make a lot of drones.
Ah.
Anduril acquired a little local Atlanta company called Area I, and that's why you see Anduril logos all around town.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a variety of things that are valuable in commercial settings as well as national security settings. So we play a role, and that's nice to see.
It must be fun for a guy like you. You must run into new and exciting and fresh ideas or applications of older ideas all the time.
Well, that's one of the interesting things. There's a startup here today that's working in a space, in the payment space, that started as another startup and then evolved into a second one. First one was a success, got sold. Second one is in a specific vertical. We've got another startup that you'll see that is in the aerospace sector that will deliver a piece of news today to this stage about their work. And they're out at PDK, and they have a hypersonics company. So if you've heard of the concept of very, very fast airplanes, missiles, things of that nature, operating above, say, Mach 5, that's exactly the space this company, Hermias, is involved in. And you will be very, very surprised. Their goal is to do hypersonic commercial airliners. So you could leave Atlanta and be in London in 90 minutes.
Wow.
You could cross the Pacific in 3 hours. So, you know, kind of a different way of thinking about how we can move people and goods. But there are also national security implications of that.
Mm.
And so they are a major recipient of funds from the Defense Innovation Unit, which is the government's large investor in startups in this space.
So for me, I haven't interviewed anyone at this type of conference since this time last year. So my head's been exploding all morning. For you, it's like it's a Tuesday morning. Yeah. Oh, here's a supersonic thing. Here's a national security. Oh, look what they're doing at AI. But that is part of, I'm operating under the impression, part of the distinct advantage and value in being part of TAG. Yes.
Just speak indeed. To
what, it, from your perspective, what are some of the advantages of being part of TAG?
So, in the case of Atlanta, we're really blessed to have organizations like TAG here, because they provide the communications network, the backbone for all the growth in this space for us. And so TAG gives a way for individuals who are involved in the startup community to get involved, people in existing large firms to also give back. And so it's quite a good network. There are tons of committees. There's, dozens of ways to be involved in TAG. And Larry's done an incredible job. Larry and the board just worked very hard on bringing this to the table. And so a new technology will pop up, say, in the biotech space or in the aeronautics space, and they'll bump into TAG one way or another.
Right, right. So, but you bring something up that strikes me as a genius model, and maybe it just evolved over time, or maybe somebody really, crafted this from day one. You got this huge organization, tons of people fly in and, to join all this, but you've also got these small kind of focused groups. So it seems like it would be a very approachable way to be part of a very powerful organization if you just will stick your toe in and start getting involved and,
Exactly. I mean, there are dozens of societies and organizations within TAG.
That's the word I was searching for. Yeah.
If you're focused on the concept of growing a workforce, there are multiple ways within TAG to do it. And Larry talked from the stage earlier about that. If you're interested in AI, if you're interested in machine learning, all of those things are there. In fact, one of the best presentations I've heard in a long time on AI was the Gartner presentation a few minutes ago, just before the break when I walked in here. And the presenter gave a vision by asking a question. And the question was, if you woke up, and I'm gonna trash his description, but I'm going to try to tell the joke again. If you woke up one morning and the person that was your significant other for the last 20 years turned out to be a machine, would you stay or would you go? Or would you try to reprogram them? And so as he shared that paradox, everybody, okay, raise your hand. So it's pretty evenly split between the stay and go types. And the go types are the ones who are really scared. The stay types are more curious.
Mm-hmm.
And the can you program just don't get it. Because if that person's a machine, you're not going to be able to program them.
Oh, wow. That is funny. All right. What's the best way for people to connect at a couple of different levels? If they'd like to reach out and have a conversation with you about any of these trends or about the work that you're doing to help individually, I want to leave them with some coordinates, a way to do that. But also, best way to get, plugged into TAG, this whole ecosystem.
Well, there's just, gotagonline.org, I think, is the website for TAG. And just take a quick look at all of the opportunities to be involved. In my case, I'm easy to reach. I've got a little website called firstignition.com, and that'll tell you how to find me better than anything else. But, I encourage everybody, no matter how small or how large your entity is, to reach out to these different resources and to become involved.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming to visit with us, man.
Thanks so much, Don. I enjoyed this.
So did I. All right. We'll be back in a few from Georgia Technology Summit 2024.